Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to today's daily COVID-19 update. I first want to thank the Arkansas Black Mayors Association for the mask they presented to me as I met with them today and for their partnership in a number of issues, including fighting COVID. And then I also, in conjunction with that, wanted to mention this Saturday's, tomorrow's, HBCU COVID-19 testing emphasis in our historically black colleges and universities. This Saturday will be testing at Flanders Smith College at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So that is available for students and others associated with that. So we're delighted with that emphasis by our HBCUs. Today, I'm joined by Secretary Jose Romero, as well as Lance Taylor with the Arkansas Activities Association, and Secretary Johnny Key of the Department of Education. First, let me mention that I did sign today an executive order extending the current public health emergency for another 60 days. The original one was set to expire. I extended that for 60 days. You might say, well, why is that in the case? And the answer is simply that the pandemic has not abated. It has not gone away. In Arkansas, we have over 500 deaths as a result of this pandemic. We have over 50,000 cumulative. We have over 6,000 active cases. And while we're making progress, we do remain in a state of emergency, public health-wise, and that is reflected in the emergency measures from telemedicine approval to public health guidelines, including limitations on capacity of certain businesses and public events, indoor and outdoor. So for that reason, I have signed that extension for an additional 60 days. And that leads me to the cases for today. We have another day of slight decline, particularly in the community cases. We have today, 626 additional cases. That brings our cumulative cases to 52,392. We have seven fewer that are hospitalized. That brings us down to 466. We have five additional deaths. That brings us to 587. Active cases are down again by over 200, down to 6,359. We have had a good day of testing. That's up from yesterday. So that's 5,519 testing. With that, let me take it through our graphs today. I've asked them to make truncate this a little bit so we can see it better in the future. But you can see the decline, and you can also see the breakdown of our community cases with those in correctional. So it really did give us a good 24 hours. You can see the seven-day rolling average that is pointed in the right direction. Let's keep it up. And then the number of active cases also is on the decline, as I recited, a drop of 200 active cases. Those are the positive cases, less those that have been considered recovered. And then if you look at the next graph, oh, I'm sorry. You're right. You did switch it. That's the hospitalized, and this is really good news that that is on the decline as well. And then you take it to the next one, which is the multicolored one, but I like to show this periodically, that breaks down our state by public health regions. And this is really an important guide for me to know where we're making progress, where we have challenges. And the first, of course, the orange is reflected of Northwest Arkansas, which had its peak, and it's been on the decline since then. Very proud of what they've done there. The central is the bright yellow. It's really had its ups and downs, and it's not going up now, which is good. But we need to continue to work there. The blue is in the Northeast, which has been a little bit of a challenge there. They were going up, but they're getting a better handle on it, but still a lot of work to do. Anyway, it's very helpful. Of course, the green is the Southwest. They're very flat, and the red is the Southeast. that has a better trend line. So all the trend lines are better and improved, but we still have work to do on some of those that have, by counties, you can see some of the increase in cases. And this, in terms of our testing, we're making some progress. We got to make more progress on the positivity rate, but it's headed in a better direction, down right at the 10%, a little bit below that. And on our, since this is close to August 15th, near the middle of the month, it's good to reflect where we are in our overall testing. And with 73,000 tests done by August 13th, we're running a little bit behind where we want to be. If you double that, that's 150,000. So you can see we've got some makeup to do in terms of our testing. And Dr. Romero is going to have some comments on testing shortly. And then let's see what's next. This just shows you that our commercial labs did better, not where we want them to be, but they did better in comparison to the previous couple days. Department of Health Lab did great. And so with that, this is a Friday, so it's important to talk about sports, music, and band. And that's one of the reasons I've asked Secretary Key to be here, as well as Lance Taylor. And we're issuing today a directive to our public and private school superintendents and athletic directors from the Department of Health, giving guidelines on the large outdoor venues and indoor venue plans for school-sponsored team sports. And this is something everybody's been waiting for, and I won't try to describe it in detail, but there'll be more information. This will go up on the website, and the facilities will be expected to not go over 66% of capacity. They will be expected to socially distance. That means 6 feet between individuals or family groups, and then also to wear masks. And so those are a couple of the fundamental principles, and that way we don't have to review every facility requirement. It's a broad-based venue specifications as to what is expected. There's certainly more details here. I encourage everyone to look at that. And then we also will be publishing today on the website a more specific guidance for our bands and music teams that are out there. So we know they're important, and there'll be information that will be provided by sundown tonight, I hope, in terms of that guidance that will be available on the website. When I said earlier, 2 weeks ago, that we were going to continue the AAA schedule for these activities of school-sponsored sports and other activities. And that, under their schedule, we have this weekend, the intra-squad games that will be this weekend. They're allowed to proceed. Next week, inter-school preseason scrimmage games, and they will proceed. And we will continue accordance with the AAA schedule, and we're going to plan on doing that. Of course, the only exception to that rule is that if we don't do our responsibility, we don't maintain our discipline in terms of our public health requirements and the guidelines for these activities. And I know there'll be more comments in reference to these, but my admonition is, let's not only start the season this year, but let's work to finish the season. And that's what's important. And that's going to take everyone's help, from the coaches to the staff to the band leaders to the choir directors, under challenging circumstances, to make sure our students have this opportunity for those activities. But it also takes the parents, because as they're on the sidelines, they've got to be socially distanced. They got to make sure that we don't contribute to the spread whenever we're starting to see some progress here in the state of Arkansas. With that, let me invite Dr. Romero for his comments.
Thank you, Governor. So I will add some more detail to the case numbers that we have today. New cases, as mentioned previously, were 626, with 189 from correctional facilities, 437 from the community. Our total number of cases for the state, 52,392. In terms of active cases, we have 6,359. This is comprised by 62 cases from nursing homes, 778 correctional facility cases, and 5,519 from the community. As mentioned by the governor, we've had a decrease in hospitalization by 7, and we're now at 466. Individuals on a ventilator have increased by 1 to 113, and deaths at 587, an increase of 5. One of these cases is a delayed report from July. One case is from a nursing home facility, and the other from a correctional facility. Our testing today was very strong at 5,519 specimens processed. The laboratory from the public health lab again broke 2,000 with 2,094 specimens. Commercial and private laboratories are increased somewhat to 3,064. UAMS contributed 361. Our overall positivity rate is 8.9. So before turning the podium back over to the governor, I want to point out that it's very important that we continue the strong testing that we had in the weeks prior to this. Our local health units have been contributing significantly specimens to the public health lab for testing. That has started to wane a little bit. I want people to go in and be tested. It's important to do so. That's the only way we're going to be able to see what our actual numbers are. So again, please continue to test. And because this is a weekend that's coming up, I want to remind everybody that this is not business as it was a year ago. We need to maintain our social distancing. We need to maintain the use of the mask so that the mask mandate will bear fruit, and we need to keep sanitary precautions, washing our hands frequently. So with that, I'll turn the mic back over to to Secretary Key.
Thank you, Dr. Romero. So today I want to announce just this morning we received a shipment of the Kids Guide to the Coronavirus. This is a resource that we will be distributing to every elementary school in the state, public and private. We purchased these with ESSER funds. This was part of the CARES Act to provide resources for our public schools and for our state agencies. And what this is simply a very kid-friendly and a parent-friendly guide so that our students can understand what they're dealing with. I know this has been talked about a lot in the news over the last several months, but we certainly want our youngest children in the state to have a better understanding of why we are asking them to wear masks, why we are asking them to wash their hands more frequently but all of the social distancing, it's all covered in here, and we're very happy, and we want to give appreciation to the governor, because there's also a letter from the governor on the back, so the families will understand how important this is, but this will be distributed in the coming weeks, so that when school starts, the schools can start distributing these to our students. Also, just briefly want to address the topic of PPE in our schools. That has, question has come up in the last several days. And over the last few days, we have seen the importance of our decision to create a strategic reserve of PPE, because what we have found, certainly here in Little Rock, on Monday, we delivered about 15,000 masks to Little Rock School District because they had not received their first shipment. I believe 2 days ago, they did receive 1.5 million masks, which is about half of their initial order. So it helped bridge that gap. We've also delivered other masks or masks to other districts that were encountering supply chain issues. So, again, we're very dedicated to make sure that all schools have what they need when they start on the 24th, 25th, or 26th. We will continue to monitor that situation. I also want to report that this is the end of the first week of school for the Arkansas School for Math, Science, and the Arts. Those moved in to their residential campus last week, and I have just under 200 students that are on site, and the report is that it has been a very smooth week. A question that has been asked before is, what will we learn from other states that start early? Well, we'll learn from other states, but we will also learn from the experience of some of the other schools that we have here in the state of Arkansas. With that, I'll turn it back to the governor.
Thank you, Johnny. And I wanted to say a word before Lance comes that I designated my high school sports advisory group that was led by the Surgeon General, Dr. Greg Bledsoe, who's done a really good job of hard work with the group. And he's not able to be here today. Lance Taylor is. He's active on that group, but also has his separate responsibilities with the Arkansas Activities Association. And so I wanted Lance to come. Thank you for your work on the group, and please share a word.
Well, first of all, thank you, Governor and Secretary Key and Dr. Romero, for y'all's support. And just like he said, we have a great group that we work with that the governor put together. And they're all a great group of individuals that all have different concerns and different ways to look at things to improve the safety of our kids as we move forward. And I've enjoyed the opportunity to work with them, especially the leadership of Dr. Bledsoe. Tell you the truth, to say that I'm excited to be here today is an understatement, because right now I know across our state our kids are excited with this news. I'm excited. And I know how hard they have worked, and not only just in athletics, but our activities. I know our band and choir people have worked with Dr. Romero and his group of doctors this week, and they're going to have the guidelines out, and they're going to be very excited. But also, you know, we have cheer and dance, and now football is going to get started, and volleyball. We've already got golf and tennis started, and cross country's next. So I know all those kids that have been working hard all summer and together all summer are very excited to get going, and I'm just proud to be here today to represent them and what kind of job they have done to protect our kids this summer with social distancing and the mask and making sure that they're keeping our kids safe. And again, it is, I believe our kids are safer with our advisors and our coaches making sure we're following these guidelines than they are on the outside or whatever they're doing when they're leaving school. But again, before I leave here today, this is the key. And I'm going to tell all the athletes and all the kids in the activities and their instructors out there, this is the key. And it's not all what's going on at school, because you are doing a great job there. But when you leave school, continue to wear this, continue to social distance, and be smart. Because just like the governor said, we want to start, but we want you to finish your seasons, and we believe this is the key. So keep up the good work, and I'm excited for all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lance. With that, we'll take any questions. Yes.
What's your recommendation? A lot of these Arkansas towns are famous for their full bleachers on Friday nights. Maybe a two-part question. Will it be like kind of first come, first serve? And then how do you go about monitoring and policing that on Friday nights?
Very good question. And the answer is, as to how you comply and determine bleacher space is going to be up to each individual school district and the athletic directors there as to whether they restrict it to, you know, parents and relatives, or obviously it's a big community event, and they could be spaced along the sidelines or the fence, as they call it, but they have to be socially distanced. So that's up to them to figure out. In terms of the compliance, you know, we would expect and hope that the athletic directors or the superintendents will have people that are there, not to be heavy-handed, but to remind people, they get excited in a game, hey, spread apart. You've got to be 6 feet apart, or put on your mask. I mean, those are the kind of things that we can be neighborly about, but remind people, because we do get excited about the games, that we all have that responsibility. But really, the compliance work will be up to the school district in accordance with the guidelines. Yes?
Districts also be responsible for any contact tracing at those events, and if a case positive case were to arise?
The school district, just like we do other cases, that will go to the Department of Health, that they'll have a nurse investigator that will contact the individual that is positive. That will be assigned to contact tracing, so that will be handled by the Department of Health. We're going to be working in the next week to streamline that. I've asked Secretary Romero and Secretary Key to work together to make sure we can prioritize and be responsive to the schools as these positive cases might pop up.
Governor, we're 5 months into this pandemic. We've got more than 500 people dead. You're trying to get these supplies for the testing. You're still not getting what you need. Does this reflect a failure of leadership at some point in the government, whether it's the state or whether it's the federal government? Why isn't this fixed?
I'm not sure I can answer that. I know that they've worked hard. But the fact is, it's not fixed yet. I'm hoping that this month it will be fixed, that we're looking at a lot of different solutions. I know federally they're pushing the laboratories to do more. I know that they have made acquisitions to increase that demand for them. But it is disappointing that we're at this stage, 5 months in, as you said, that we're still struggling with sufficient testing. And we thought we had that fixed, but that was whenever the demand was down. And it was fixed at one level. It wasn't fixed at a higher level that we have today across the United States. And so I don't want to be, it's not my role, and it's not the right time to say what we haven't done or what we should have done better. Because there's going to be a time in history that we'll have a review commission for COVID-19, and we're going to look at that more deeply so we can learn from it. But now's not the time. Now's the time to say, let's get in there and let's fix what we know is a system that's not working perfectly right now.
Had any further discussions with other states in regards to the consortium with the Rockefeller Foundation?
We have it. Right now, there's really a surprising number of states in the sense that I think there's close to 10 states that have agreed to participate in that coalition. Once we know the final number of that, the Rockefeller Foundation of New York will then start allocating what each state could do and get specifics on it to tie it down into a longer-term commitment and contract. So it's a step-by-step process. It's not going to be an immediate fix, but we're looking at this further into the fall, and I hope this will be part of the solution. Let me go remotely. Is there anything?
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew AP. There was an open letter that was published as a full-page ad in the Democrat Gazette today from a group of parents, guardians, community members, raising concerns about the resumption of in-person classes this month, and also had some recommendations, including a more phased-in approach to returning to in-person classes, more defined parameters for closing schools. Wanted to see if you had had a chance to read that and if you had any response to it, and had a second question for both you and Secretary Key. Wanted to see how confident are you that there's going to be enough teachers, enough staff, enough substitutes to keep schools open, especially when we start seeing cases, start seeing people having to quarantine? Is there going to be that pipeline for that when that happens?
Thank you, Andrew. And just that again, in terms of your first question of the open letter, I have taken a look at that and You know, we value the ideas presented by members of the community, the educational community, and others across the state. I looked at some of their priorities. We've addressed many of them, from the PPE concerns to the first one was the phased-in approach. You can look at what we've done by delaying the start of school by 2 weeks. That gives everybody more opportunity and time to be prepared. I think that was a phased-in for us. Obviously, we want to start on day one with in-classroom instruction, and we think we have a good plan for that, but we welcome those ideas, and we've been responsive to many of those that we think are rightfully set forth. And we'll ask Secretary Key to comment more on that, if you wish, and the other point.
Yes. I have read that open letter as well. It reflects the feelings and opinions and statements that many others have sent us over the last several months. So it's something we definitely take to heart. We understand the concern that's out there, and we also understand that there is a need for students to be on campus. There are students whose needs will not be met by virtual means, and it's very important that those students have the opportunity to be on campus when the school year starts. As it relates to the substitutes and staffing, you know, that is an issue that we are watching. The hiring and staffing up with respect to substitute teachers is very much a localized situation. I know here in Central Arkansas and in many other places, they use temporary or hiring agencies, and they go through those agencies to secure their substitutes. And all the districts that I've talked to are working to increase those numbers. But the availability of staffing is something that, when the school year starts, will factor into the response levels, the document that we issued several weeks ago, so that those operational decisions can be based on availability of subs, the availability of teachers, and the possible impact of teachers being quarantined or being close contact or positive cases. So those are all things that we're looking at on a regular basis.
Another question?
Hey, Governor, it's Nick Camper with 5 News in Northwest Arkansas and Fort Smith. Had a couple questions about testing delays. The first one's just sort of an update. About a month ago, the Arkansas Department of Health said that they were going to increase their staff to help speed up testing and sort of the return on those results. And then I wanted to see how that was going. And then the second question just has to do with what is being done to ensure that there's going to be universal quick turnaround times as we head into the first couple weeks of school.
I'll ask Dr. Romero to come in reference to the staffing. In reference to the turnaround time as we head into school, we're still hopeful that we will have some point-of-care testing that's available. We're still waiting on the testing kits that we have ordered that we are waiting delivery on. We get those, that we're going to utilize that to assist our schools in addition to our normal capability through the Department of Health that we are staffing up to be ready and increase the or reduce the turnaround time. Dr. Romero.
So with regard to increasing personnel within the laboratory, I actually had a chance to meet with our laboratorians today. We have added to that body of individuals. There is a national shortage of well-trained laboratory technicians. We are trying to get more. We have space for more hires, but it is a very tight market at this time, so we are looking for that. I want to add to that we have a third high-throughput machine that is in the phase right now of validation, and we hope to have that up next week, and that will add more cases, more tests that we can run. With regard to testing of students, so we have a plan that is in evolution. We definitely want those students that or staff or teachers that have symptoms that could be consistent with COVID to seek testing at their local health units. Every county has a local health unit. We will do point-of-care testing there, and if we establish a diagnosis, those patients will be fed into our system for contact investigation and tracing. Those individuals that are negative will be backed up with a positive, with a test called a PCR test to confirm that negativity. If we have an outbreak in schools, we are currently exploring the possibility of having up to 10 teams that can be deployed immediately to those areas for mass testing of the students in those schools. So we are planning ahead. We have the resources to do that monetarily. We will be hiring for those positions in the near future. Next.
Governor, it's Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. For Dr. Romero, I'm just curious, what's involved in the training of lab technicians? I know you hired and trained contact tracers. Is that's much more detailed? And then for you, Governor, with regards back to that letter, one of the things parents are talking about is a more defined and transparent way of communicating to parents when there is a positive test in the school. And I recognize you got to balance that against creating a panic, but can you talk about a better way to communicate with parents if there is an outbreak?
Yes, actually, I've challenged both Secretary Key and Secretary Romero to be as transparent as possible, consistent with privacy guidelines, so that we can provide as much information as possible in reference to any positive cases in the school districts. We want information that is out there, and so that's still an objective that we have that they're working on, and we hope to be able to refine that more carefully in the coming days. And then, Dr. What was the other question?
Ladies and gentlemen, we apologize. There seem to be some technical issues with today's update from Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson. We will actually get back to you right now.
Techniques. In addition to being trained in those situations, they still are trained in our laboratories to know exactly how we're doing our tests. So we're looking for graduate individuals that have gone to the school and have a degree, and then bringing them in. This is a unique, if I may, Governor, this is a unique opportunity for young graduating technicians. You won't always have this opportunity to enter into a high-tech modern laboratory right away. So I would encourage you to consider any opportunity that you have to become employed by the health department.
Frank.
Yes. Governor, there were 73 new bill on one day this week, I believe, reported, 34 at the Human Development Center in Boonville. These people are, they're not free to leave. And I guess, why do we keep seeing these large outbreaks? And what obligations does the state owe to these people and their families?
Well, of course, the Human Development Center is different because that's voluntary by the families who want their family member there. Those are a lot of different decisions go into that. But we have a great responsibility to them, absolutely. And that's why we have initiated 100% testing. That's why we have worked on the staff and the facilities there to make sure they're a safe environment. And if we identify a positive case, then we address it. In the prison environment, first of all, we're doing that mass testing this month, which means we're testing 100% of our inmates again in prison. And that allows us to detect any positive cases, to get ahead of it, to make sure that we don't get behind in terms of dealing with this in the prison system. And it's been very successful. It has allowed us to identify more cases, but you know, it hasn't been an excessively high positive rate as we've gone through the testing in our different prison systems. And then they have reviewed, and at my direction, any nonviolent offenders, any that are appropriate for release, that could be considered. And so that's something that the Board of Corrections does consider if they are nonviolent type offenders that are there and are close to their or at their parole date, that that could be accelerated. So they have taken action on that, and they're continuing to review that. Any other questions?
What would you say to people whose checks are running out, the government, the larger amounts have gone down, they've got rent to pay, they've got bills to pay, they may be struggling to get food? It just seems like there's no end in sight. What message would you have for them? And the Congress has gone home. They've gone home.
That we understand the challenge and the frustration that they have. You know, we have the standard amount of unemployment compensation, but that is less than the wage that they would make if employed. And so we would like to see two things done. Opportunity for jobs. That's why we want to keep our economy moving. And we have job opportunities there. We hope they fit. That's important. Secondly, we want a solution to this. We do believe that it's important for our economy and for individual families to have an additional amount for unemployment compensation that can be agreed upon by Congress because these are tough times, and we want to make sure that the safety net is there as well. We monitor our food banks. We want to make sure well supplied to help our citizens as they endure some economic hardships. Thank you all, and you have a great weekend. I hope it's a wonderful weekend for the entire state, and be safe. And make sure we have a good weekend. Thank you.